Many people don't even know that Taiwan exists. The people who do know it exists might think of a futuristic place where there is a wide array of skyscrapers and street food. But the glowing street lights of Taiwan, that's not what Taiwan really just is. It's only part of it. The other part is pure terror. I'm Rishi Sheth, and this is Legend. Far away, off the eastern coast of Taiwan, lies the charming and isolated volcanic land of Green Island. Amongst the crystal clear waters where tourists flock to scuba dive and sit in one of only three seawater hot springs in the world, lies a repressive past. Political prisoners were shipped off here to the concentration camp of Green Island Prison to live a terrible life of thought and hard labor reform. The prison remains standing today, and open to exploration. Taiwan was under Japanese colonial rule for 50 years, until 1945, when China took back what they had considered stolen. Under China's control, Taiwan's idea of a happy ever after ending rapidly turned into a nightmare. The KMT, or the Chinese Nationalist Party, considering the Taiwanese to be too Japanized and degraded, began looting their commodities and resources. Taiwan's economy went down the pan, and in 1947, violent riots against the government broke out. Anyone suspected of going against the government was rounded up and executed, with the KMT stating, "We would rather kill 99 innocent good people by mistake than miss a guilty one." Taiwan was under martial law from 1948 to 1987, with the KMT arresting all the communist agents they could, who they believed to be enemies of the state. Over 140,000 people were arrested, with some 3,000 to 4,000 executed. Many served their sentences at Green Island Prison. Two prisons were built on Green Island to accommodate the unfortunate who were arrested. The New Life Correction Center and Green Island Reform and Reeducation Prison. Walking through the Oasis Villa grounds today, you can still see the anti-communist propaganda painted across the walls and chiseled into the cliffs. The different message here includes Taiwan independence is poison for Taiwan, and communism is misery for all. The Taiwanese have answered back and depicted through their graffiti that mind control and high pressure domination were imposed on them by the government. When prisoners arrive on the island, they had to walk along the coast past this rock shaped like an elephant's trunk. It's nicknamed Devil's Gate. Further along the coast of an island, a path passes to a pillbox that was used by the KMT as a solitary confinement cell dubbed the Water Cell. In the end, you will reach a cave called Swallow's Cave. This is where prisoners were forced to perform political plays. And this is where tourists usually feel the most unsettled. Minzyong Ghost House is a twofold rarity in Taiwan. Firstly, it's a place that's celebrated rather than shunned because it's believed to be haunted. Secondly, it's an architectural gem that's long been on the tourist map, but which hasn't yet been converted into a coffee/souvenir shop. Even without its tantalizing backstory, this intensely atmospheric ruin would surely attract a stream of photographers and cyclists. The old Liu family mansion, as it's called by those who don't feel comfortable uttering the word ghost, was completed in 1929 for local merchant Liu Zhengyu. I have not been able to discover when Liu was born or when he died, but according to some sources, he lived to the age of 71. He had 4 sons and 3 daughters. If Liu intended that his spacious edifice would serve as a home for his extended family, he must have felt disappointed. In Taiwan that existed before 1945, the rural location, some kilometers from the center of Minzyong Township, and even further from Chiayi City, was especially inconvenient. The older sons worked in Chiayi City or Beigang, so the younger children could attend school. Liu's wife moved with them to Chiayi City. After the house was finished, Liu lived there with a few servants for around 3 years, then also left for the city. Liu's employees came back in from time to time to maintain the property, but it seems the house was never again lived in. Many of the Imperial Japanese Army members may have been billeted in the mansion. However, as an often repeated story tells us how a squad of Japanese soldiers came to a gruesome end while staying here. One of the soldiers awoke during the night, it said, and he saw someone or something approaching. He opened fire, the noise rousing the others. Some panicked and tried to run away, while others began shooting wildly. After a few moments of terror and confusion, all lay dead or dying. Presumably, one survived long enough to give an account. Others attribute the building's spookiness to a dispute during the construction between the owner on one side and the joiner, stonemason, and bricklayer on the other. He not only scolded these workers, but also cheated them out of some of their wages. To get their own back, they embedded curses and spells in the walls and the foundations. After the Liu family moved in, they were tormented by mysterious footsteps and inexplicable sounds, which induced what doctors nowadays would call stress-related disorders. Then there's the haunted water tank tale. When one of the owner's grown-up daughters was paying a visit, she turned on a faucet to wash her hands and found the water to be strikingly cold. When a plumber was sent upstairs to check the water tank, he immediately ran back down, pale and shocked. When he reached the top floor and got close to the water tank, he reported he'd heard the sound of human voices coming from within. There were men, women, and children, all screaming. To ward off evil spirits, the owner's wife invited a Taoist priest to position a Magahani sword, an item traditionally used to improve feng shui and repel ghosts within the house. In light of the mansion's subsequent abandonment, this didn't work. The most popular explanation is, by comparison, quite prosaic. One of the resident maids, some say she was a courtesan, had a love affair with the owner. This ended badly when the owner's wife discovered the affair. She is said to have poured such abuse over her rival that the latter killed herself by jumping down the family's private well. Some say it was murder, the owner's wife pushing the other female down the well. If the owner's wife thought the other woman's death would end disharmony in the household, she was mistaken. Strange voices were heard within the house, and bizarre wisps of white fog surrounded it at dusk. After everyone had moved out, those living nearby claimed to hear fierce shouting amenti from the building. Sometime in the 1990s, this Spanish-style residence emerged from obscurity to become a minor tourist attraction. College students dared each other to come in here after dark. Then urbex types began to photograph the ruin and blog about its gradual decline. Surrounded by untrimmed trees, now taller than the building, the ghost house is just one room deep, but each of the three floors had three sizable rooms from left to right. Several of its roof beams are still in place, but every single floorboard has rotted away, collapsed, or been pillaged. The inscriptions at the top of the facade are visible. The approximate meaning of the top row of texts is "Ethics and holiness will shine," while the lower row of texts means "Brothers and music." Bunyan roots have seized each corner of the mansion, and there's been no attempt to create a proper path through the woodland for the convenience of visitors. However, some of the foliage had been cut back around the well in which the man is said to have died. A few cakes have been placed there, presumably as offerings to propitiate her spirit. But alas, in such a place, she will never be propitiated. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Legend. There's an episode every week, so stay tuned for those, and as always, thanks for listening.